American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Wayfair's big sale is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, October 5th through October 7th, save up to 80% off on everything home. With low prices on top furniture and decor, now's the time to invest in new seating or dining set. Up your holiday decorating game for way less. Refresh your cookware and baking supplies. Restock your linen closet and maybe even treat yourself. Actually, definitely treat yourself. At up to 80% off, this is the sale to go all out. Oh, and did we mention everything ships free all Wayday long? Yeah, everything, even a sectional. Plus, surprise flash deals launch every 24 hours on some of Wayfair's top products. So, check back each day to score big on something you never saw coming. Who knows what amazing finds you'll bring home. Don't miss Wayfair's big sale. Wayday only lasts 3 days and won't be back soon. Save up to 80% off all things home starting October 5th. Only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Austria's far-right Freedom Party has secured a historic victory in the national elections, gaining over 29% of the vote and shaking the country's political establishment. Meanwhile, in Germany, the far-right Alternative for Germany, the AfD, is riding a wave of support, particularly in the regional elections, where they achieved record-breaking results. What do these developments mean for Europe? And should we be concerned about this far-right resurgence? Now, here to break it down for us is Rosie Burchard of DW News. Rosie, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's talk about this victory, and it's not an all-out victory. 29% doesn't form a government for this far-right party. It has a very interesting history.
It absolutely does. This is a party with its origins basically founded by former SS members. So in the 1950s, it was absolutely seen as linked to Nazism, let's be honest here. Now, the party would say that it has entirely shed those roots and has now moved towards the centre, but it is still very much seen these days as a far-right party, and it certainly has campaigned on an anti-migrant stance. Now, as you rightly said, it's not an outright win, but it is a historic win for them insofar as this is the first time the party has come out top in elections. It has in the past been a junior coalition partner in Austria. And the question now is whether they'll manage to form a government moving forward. That is not as straightforward as you might think. If they come out on top, there are still quite a few hurdles to jump, particularly in terms of trying to get other parties to work with them when they are seen as toxic, or at least their leader is.
And, you know, I talked to at the very beginning of this program about historical amnesia, both in Austria and in Germany. And when you hear some of their campaign language, they want a more homogeneous nation. I mean, who does that bring us back to? None other than Adolf Hitler.
What's really interesting with Austria is I think a lot of historians or sociologists would say that the country, unlike Germany, hasn't really had a reckoning with its past in the same way. I think some would point to that as a contributing factor here, although, of course, we've seen far-right parties surging in other European countries where this is not particularly on the political agenda in the same way. But it's certainly something that is the historians will be discussing moving forward. You know, how do we see it coming in 2024? But as I said, we're seeing these kind of trends across the European Union. Austria was seen in many ways as a kind of trailblazer of far-right politics. It's had the far-right in government before, as I mentioned. And even back in, we were talking more than about 25 years ago now, when the FPÖ was first in government, that's the party we're talking about, it at that time kind of was targeted by sort of sanctions from Brussels, from the European Union. That's almost unimaginable now, Pat, isn't it? Because we're seeing far-right parties becoming much more mainstream and entering into government in different countries across the bloc.
Now, the question of who forms the government, that's in the gift of the president to nominate someone to start the talks. And the idea that if they had come second, where they would not be leading a government, they might have a better chance of being in power than their current situation where they're on top.
Yeah, that's the irony of it. In a sense here, the party itself while it is absolutely seen as far right, it has been in government before, and that means that there has been a precedent of mainstream parties being willing to work with it. That's a difference to, for example, some other countries like Germany, where there is what's called like a firewall, where mainstream parties say, we will not work with the far right. That has not been the case in Austria. However, the party's leader is seen as a toxic figure. So we've had the Austrian chancellor saying that he's essentially an extremist and that he would not work with the party's leader. That means what was going to be interesting to see is whether there can be a deal done with the party as a whole, which includes kind of cutting this party leader out of the picture. Because the party has come out on top, essentially it's in a stronger position here. The president...
Would they abandon this man, Herbert Kickl? Would they abandon him in pursuit of power? Would they say, we'll get rid of him off the stage? And maybe they'd be thinking, he can be in the background working his magic with us while not being the figurehead leader.
Yeah, that's absolutely the question. And these kind of coalition talks can take weeks, they can take months. And the president chooses who to nominate to lead them. Usually it would be the person who has come out on top in the top party, but it's not written down constitutionally that way. So it's up to him essentially as a president to decide how to move forward with this. These are all questions which are going to be playing out, and you can be sure that they're going to be watched carefully from other European capitals to just see how far to the right Austria might swerve here.
I mean, it is disturbing when you think back to the genesis of the Second World War and far-right parties rising up. I mean, we currently have far right in power in Italy. We know the attitude of Viktor Orban and Slovakia. Now we've got and the resurgent AfD in Germany and now in Austria. It's kind of worrying that people don't have some sort of historical perspective on where this might lead.
I think what's also worrying for countries like, for example, Ukraine here, is what kind of impact that might have on foreign policy, because what we're seeing develop across the European Union is a sort of axis of kind of anti-Ukraine politicians. So we've seen that, and you mentioned there Hungary, Viktor Orban, also in Slovakia. And this win in Austria could see a sort of extension of an axis in Central Europe of parties which are seen as relatively Russia-friendly and skeptical of support to Ukraine. Austria is, like Ireland, a neutral country, so it's not a big, massive donor of weapons to Ukraine, on the contrary. However, politically, it sits at the table, these 27 European Union members. It has a say over certain policies moving forward. So I think from a foreign policy perspective, it's also something that will be watched very carefully from Kyiv, as well as other European capitals.
Now, looking to Germany and the Greens in some disarray, are they likely to face a wipeout when we have the federal elections?
That is exactly what they are trying to avoid, Pat, because they have just faced some wipeouts in recent elections. We saw in the European Parliament elections earlier this year, the Greens tumbled really down from a position of power to really much more of a sidelined group. Then we saw in recent state elections in Germany, so it's a federal country, which means that individual states have quite a lot of power. We saw three states in which the Greens were formerly coalition partners, where they tumbled to either being really entirely marginalised or even not scraping the 5% vote threshold, which is needed to get into these state parliaments. And with that in mind, we've seen the co-leaders of the Green Party in Germany stepping down. It was, I mean, some might have predicted it, but it was not a particularly signposted event. It was a sort of spontaneous press conference in which the leader said, this party needs new faces in order to try and do a revamp, because next year there are federal elections. It's currently in the government, and whether they can try and hold on to power is a big question for them.
And Rosie, the policy mistakes or missteps they may have made, which dismayed the voters, I mean, I don't know whether they fed into Angela Merkel's decision to shut down nuclear power in Germany, which, of course, had huge impact when the war with Ukraine, the invasion by Putin, and the challenge to energy resources in Western Europe happened, which hit Germany big time. Or what other policies might have led to their demise or potential demise?
So there's a couple of factors here. There are some policy questions. For example, the Greens were a big champion of some policies about mandating or pushing really heat pumps, so trying to move away from reliance on fossil fuels. That was seen as a bit heavy-handed, that was seen as something that was difficult for a lot of households. There was complaints about that. So that's a kind of, from the right of the voters, were those that was rejected. And that's overall, we're seeing this trend in Europe of a bit of a rejection of green policies. And they're even being rebranded in Brussels just now. For example, we just talked a few weeks ago about the new European Commission. You will not see the word green in there anymore. That's, these policies, if they are there, they're being snuck in under the guise of clean technology or competitiveness. Then there was also questions about the Greens' foreign policy stances. So on the left of its voters, these are voters which would have been traditionally seen as staunch pacifists. We've had the war in Ukraine, of course, and the Greens, part of the federal government supporting Ukraine. That's seen as unpopular among some voters, also the German government's policies on Israel. And then there's another factor in all of this, which is in these state elections. So at the local level, the German Greens suffered in cases of tactical voting because they were so concerned, many of their voters, about the far-right Alternative for Germany party getting in, that we saw Green voters in some cases voting for the centre-right. So a totally different party they would ever vote for in a bid to try and block out the far right, and that's seen them drop so low. So there's all sorts of different factors coming in here, some policy, some bigger contextual issues, and with that they're trying to sort of pull the party back from the brink to see if they can hold on to power when it comes next year. And Germany is the heartland of green politics in Europe, so if the Greens fail there, there will be big questions about green parties for the whole of the continent.
Rosie Burchard, who's a journalist with DW News, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.